Hello and welcome to Mediumship Matters with me, Hannah McIntyre. How are you doing? So last night was my last demonstration of 2022. And I haven't done all of the figures yet, but I've worked really, really hard on my demonstrating this year. Perhaps too hard. I've done a lot of dates and I can see that Spirit are asking me to keep with my affirmation at the moment of I do less, I achieve more, I do less, I earn more, which triggers me completely and entirely, but we're working through that. It's never perfect. It's always a work in progress. And as I was talking about on my last full-length podcast, there's been some lessons here that I've had to learn. And this week I did two Dems, two nights in a row. So I was a little nervous because that's a big toll on my energy and what I think I'm able to do. And it was absolutely fine. But isn't it interesting that my last demonstration of 2022, and I was very excited and I pumped myself up listening to RuPaul in the car and really excited to be there, really excited to be part of it. Let's go out with a bang. And it was a bit of a damp squib. And isn't that just interesting? So Wednesday night, I was back at the Deal Spiritual Centre and did my demonstration there and was getting some banging evidence, really was some really good, really specific stuff. Two names of communicators, every spirit was taken, real lovely flow. And then we moved to Thursday and Sandwich, and I've had a few problems with the venue, which has been disappointing, which probably was a sign that all was not going to go how I was hoping. So I've been using that venue for over a year, and I went to book some dates in for next year, and they told me they were tripling the price. And I was sorry, you're going from £100 to £300? And they said, yes, we don't have any benefit from you being there. No one who attends your nights even buys a drink at the bar. And I said, what? Are you joking? Nearly everybody buys a drink. What are you talking about? And they said, no, we don't get any sales from it. We get no benefit. So we're putting the price up. And I said, okay, well, that's strange. I can tell you that people definitely buy drinks because I helped your staff clear up the glasses last time, but that's absolutely fine. It's obviously not meant to be. And then I said to them, but for my last one, could we please make it so that people can pre-order interval drinks? Because we only have a 15-minute interval and quite often your bar is quite slow. So it would really help if we could get them pre-ordered. It would probably help your sales too. Yes, that's fine. Then we get there last night and there's a new lady working there and she says, oh, by the way, we can't do interval drinks for you, so everyone will just have to come down to the bar. Now, bearing in mind, this is a room that I initially booked because it has a bar on it. So I didn't even want people to have to go downstairs and use the main bar, and they've never once opened it for me. And now they're tripling the price and moaning that no one's buying drinks, but then not making it accessible for people to buy drinks. So that was very human and very frustrating. And you guys know me, I like a well-oiled machine. I don't often get what I want, but that's what I want. So I thought, okay, this is it. This is the end of my relationship with this venue, which is a real shame because it's a lovely venue. And the audience came, and from the moment they arrived, there must have been something in the energy of the space or something that was going on with us all. Maybe it's the dark winter nights, but it was flat. I think it was the least laughs I've ever had in an opener. Very, very staid and stuck energy. And taking just so long for people to take links. So if you've ever been taught with me, you will know one of the things that I insist on is if you offer a spirit out and you've got enough evidence and nobody takes it. Your desire, your urge is to go back to the spirit world and get more evidence. But actually what you have to do is go back through what you've already got and work out what needs changing in it, what needs shifting in it. Maybe using different words would help people understand it, because language can be incredibly limiting. And sometimes people just get a bit overwhelmed and need you to go through it again so they can kind of checklist it off. So last night, I was working with these spirits and I knew that they were there. They were so clear to me. And I was, you know, on my third go of going through this evidence and saying, none of it's changing. It's exactly what I said to you. And saying, okay, well, I'm going to pass on their message now. So moving into that where you give up and you just go, okay, well, I'm still going to honour the spirit and bring their message through. And then people were putting their hands up at that point and going, oh, you might be with me. And it was just really challenging. And I was thinking about this and wondering what this is. And I'm wondering if it's inexperienced audiences. So there were a lot of people there last night who hadn't seen a medium work before. And perhaps if they don't know what to expect, they are slower to respond. They're still processing it. There's a lack of understanding. And it was just a really interesting night. I really wanted to go out with a bang, and I went out with a pfft. And that's just the way it goes sometimes. And it doesn't take away from the connections that I did or the messages that I got for people, because they were still good. But it's just really, when you can't build the momentum, you can't get it going. It's frustrating because you know that you can't take your mediumship to the level that you want to. And I had less of a problem with that at the spiritual church, and I guess centre, sorry, I called it a church when I was there and they weren't impressed. And I think that is because they understand how mediumship works. They're a bit more primed and ready, and that makes such a difference. So what can we do? What is there that I can do to make that easier, more likely to happen? How do you prime people to understand how it really works? And I just don't think you can. It's almost tempting, and I wouldn't do this because I don't want to be disingenuous, but it's almost tempting to have people in the audience not to actually take the spirit links, because I would never do that, but just to show people by example, this is how you put your hand up. This is how you take a spirit. This is when you say, well, I understand everything, but not this bit. And get that kind of energy going where people feel like they are able to respond. I just don't know how to do it. And I did my best. And Kim, who was helping me last night, she said, whoa, blimey, you could even tell when they came in that it was very flat. Just a really, yeah, stiff and stuck energy. And again, I know I've been banging on about this a lot, but again, doesn't this show that there is a limit to what you can do with your mediumship if you've not got the right vibe? So interesting. It is so, so interesting. And I've been thinking about what it is, because even last night, where I can say it was a bit meh, I still feel that my evidence was good, and I accept that the stuff that I was getting last night, I'd have killed for a year ago. So I understand that about myself. I can see the growth, and again, taking me back to this understanding that it's how it feels to me. Does it feel satisfying? Does it feel good enough? Does it feel like I've done my best work? And how that impacts my experience too. And I think that's a massive part of it. I think that I am the one that is holding myself to this standard, this level that I want to be at. And it's me. It's me that's doing that. Oh, I had people coming up to me at the end to say how how much they enjoyed it and how good it was, but it still has that kind of about it. So interesting. Such a vulnerability, and I don't think, and nor should they, but that people understand what it feels like to stand in front of them all and offer your heart up and your vulnerability up and for nobody to take it. And your feeling of responsibility to the spirit world, of wanting to do a good job for them and wanting people to be reunited, because that's what it's all about, isn't it? And I think that there is a point of surrender that we can get to in our mediumship, which is very much dependent. It changes. It's a moving point with how the evening's going and how the sitter is responding to the evidence and how we feel we are doing with the evidence. So again, looking at different stages. If you were talking stage one mediumship, in that connection, you're building your power with the spirit, you're building that blend with the spirit. Your evidence should be specific enough that you can place it, but perhaps not mind-blowingly amazing evidence, but good evidence. Possibly a little generic, but building that power, getting used to that experience, feeling that sitter in. And then you get to the second stage where you get slightly more specific stuff. You've got more of an idea of who they are. You're able to get things like how they died, what their job was, that kind of thing. And I think that you can't get out of that second stage without enough momentum and a responsive audience to get into the space where you are getting names, where you are getting fine details, where you are getting really, really specific and good evidence. And that is always going to be a problem. And you're never going to get into the third gear level of the mediumship until you surrender. You can't get that while you're seeking. I think in stage one, you are seeking more because you are building that energy. And then in stage two, you are surrendering a little bit more, but you're still seeking a little bit. You're still hoping the spirit world are going to come in and give you something good and make you look good. You're still in that kind of space. And then you get into the third stage, if you're lucky. But when you have got an audience that isn't putting their hand up, even though everything you've said is correct, or one tiny little bit is misinterpreted slightly, you can never get into third gear. And so it's just, you're just stuck all the time in second, trying to get going, trying to, you know, cruise down the motorway, but limited to the level you're at. And so what does this mean with mediumship and how it works? And isn't this the irony that all of this propaganda that's been out there, that's been getting more and more people interested in spirit and spirit world, because a lot of it is edited to look better and hyped up and different to the reality of it. Of course, people are limited by that expectation. When you watch, it's mainly American mediums. I don't think there's any TV shows with English mediums at the moment, but they're edited. So they will cut in with interviews with very emotional, very expressive people at the end, talking about what it meant to them and how it felt to them. And they can't believe that they've come through. And that comes from two different points there, because once you've got enough fame, notoriety, people will want to hear from you regardless of the quality of the evidence. But also, you're then getting these emotional sitters. I mean, I'm assuming that there are people in the programming production team who make sure that they are going to be responsive. They're edited before they get there. They're not just working with people who are very non-responsive and the energy is flat. So it makes it a different experience. So then if you watch all of that, you think that these people are having their minds blown so amazingly. And it is mind-blowing amazing. But it's not fake mind-blowing amazing. And I think especially with us Brits, our idea of mind-blowing amazing is to sit there very still and not really give a lot away because we are an uptight breed. So it's just interesting. I feel like we're being held almost hostage by the idea of how mediumship should work rather than the reality of it. And I honestly don't know how you educate people in that, because if you're going to see a show, you don't get educated in it. When I went to see Six the Musical, I didn't get a pre-Six the Musical write-up. This is what you can expect. This is how you should behave. So how do we get that education out there with mediumship? When I went to see Tony Stockwell quite some time ago now, it was all in lockdown. We were supposed to be wearing masks. God, I'm so glad those days are over. One of the interesting things that I saw was that people were so desperate to get a message from him that they would almost, well, sometimes they weren't even waiting for him to offer it out. They were just jumping up and going, me, 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 and railroading it. But it was a very different experience because of his fame. People were coming from a completely different point. They were coming from a point of expecting him to be amazing. He's been on the TV. He's wonderful. And I don't know. I'm sure that has its own restrictions within it, because I'm pretty sure in that event, someone was coming through for me, but it got railroaded by one of the super fans. But within that, yeah, it's just interesting, isn't it, to how you get people to that point and how do you attract the right audience? And is this part of what's been going on with me for next year with the difficulties I'm having with venues and the challenges that I'm finding with trying to find places? Because it looks like I will be doing far less nights. Yeah. So will that by default attract people to my nights that are more ready, that are more specifically wanting to work with me, specifically knowing who I am and how mediumship works? I don't know. Watch this space. We'll be having this conversation this time next year and I'll be going, well, this is what I've learnt this year, and there'll be a whole nother cacophony of experiences. But I love it. It's kind of fascinating. And this is why it makes it difficult for people and hard for people. And I never, ever, ever want anyone to take a spirit that they don't feel is theirs when they're working with me. I think that, number one, you have to have that faith in the spirit world that communicator is coming through for somebody. And you would never want somebody to go home thinking that could have been my grandparent, but that lady took it, so it obviously wasn't, when that person is just taking that spirit to make you look good. But it's interesting. It's such a quagmire. And it must be so hard for developing mediums to, well, I'm a developing medium, but I mean, one's right at the beginning of their journey when they're putting that out there and faced with audiences like I'm faced with sometimes. So I want to talk about it because I don't want you to think it's just you. And I kind of want us all to start understanding that in some respects, there's not a lot we can do. There's a limit with it. And that's something we have to accept. So yeah, thank you, universe, for letting me end 2022 on a rather than a woohoo. I mean, I'm going to woohoo myself anyway, because I accept how much I've achieved this year. But yeah, marvellous. Absolutely marvellous. So I'm looking through my list of huge things that I want to talk about that I'm always writing and adding to see what else I'm going to talk to you about today. Now, one of the questions that people were asking me about last night, which was quite interesting, was people in the spirit world around you and why they're around you, if they know it scares you, but equally you want them there, and the irony of that. And I was trying to explain to the audience, which was quite funny, I guess, that the spirit world are always around us, but we are the ones, for the most part, that control how we experience the spirit world. So we are the ones that have our valves open to a certain way of receiving. So if you see, for example, a spirit around you and it makes you jump, and then you think, well, how could my grandfather do that to me? I thought he loved me and he's made me jump. He's always with you. It's just that you've suddenly tuned in to be able to see his energy. And that's about how you work. And I just thought that was really funny, because this lady who'd been on The Source, shout out if you are one of those ladies that group that were at the back on the right last night. Thank you for being completely disruptive all the way through my demonstration last night, even though I had asked for people not to talk during it. Because if you thought you were being quiet, that huge amount of wine you had was not making you quiet. It got to the point where some poor woman in the audience had to say, could you be quiet, please? And then it was hilarious, guys. You couldn't make this stuff up. Rather than, I'd be mortified if someone said to me, could you be quiet, please, in that kind of environment. They decided to just get up in the middle of me talking and just trot out of the room with their heels clacking, making loads of noise and disruption. So alcohol is not your friend at a mediumship demonstration. I like a party vibe as much as the next person, but you don't need to be getting there and getting effed up. You can come and just be merry and present, honestly. And if you haven't got a limit, just stick to the lime and soda, please. So I don't think that the spirit world intend to scare us. I think that the spirit world are always around us, and sometimes we open up. And unexpectedly, they're there. It's a bit like Peter Parker with his Spidey powers. Whenever you've watched a Spider-Man, and it's a new Spider-Man, and he is learning how to be Spider-Man, he does shoot his web at inopportune moments, doesn't he? Oh my God. I think it's good I'm taking December off, guys. God. But you know what I mean. He does. He has to learn to control his power. And I think it's the same for mediumship. If we accept that our loved ones are beside us and around us all the time, then it's about how we are perceiving and receiving that energy. And they are not trying to frighten or upset you. So what else do I want to talk you through here? Yes, there was something else I wanted to talk about here that I keep seeing with other mediums, and also in the language when they're demonstrating, which I think adds to the kind of people not really knowing how to take it, how to make it, which is sentences like, I've got chills, I'm feeling like they're afraid, I'm, you know, all these kind of fear-mongery expressions. Oh, someone's coming in. Oh, I'm feeling spirit stood beside me. Like it's an unnatural and something spooky, scary, weird, creepy. And, you know, that's somebody's nan. Can you imagine if your grandmother came through and a medium was doing a live that you were watching, and they went, oh, I feel spirit with me. I've got chills. And that kind of thing. It's so weird when you think about that from personal, that's my grandmother. It makes sense in the idea of spirituality and mediumship and that kind of woo-woo-ness of it, and the over-egging of the mix, the theatre of mediumship, but it's not the reality of it, is it? So I ask you, please, even if you have got somebody coming through where you know that they were desperately unhappy or they've got deep regrets about how they passed and what they went through, I ask you, please, to make sure that you are educating your audience as you say it. And I know I've said this before to you guys, but I will say it again. Certainly at the beginning, it's a really good idea to record yourself doing readings so that you can listen back and you can listen to the things that you're saying and you can listen to how you're delivering it, because sometimes we think we're saying it one way and it actually comes out completely differently. And that's quite fascinating, I think. You can remember the experience you were having at a moment, but when you listen back to it, you're not actually sharing that experience at all. You've watered it down, you've changed it, you've shifted it. You're talking through it in a very strange way. So if you are developing, regardless of whether you're doing evidential links or spirit guide links or whatever, psychic links, just listen back to it. See how you are expressing what you're experiencing, because I guarantee you'll think, oh, that's not come out the way that I thought it was going to, once you're out of the energy and you're looking back. So there we go. Another sort of fail. I mean, it wasn't a fail. Every spirit was taken, and I got some great links in there from people and some great evidence, but just... yeah, another night of learning and understanding and unfolding. No one said this would be easy, right? They never said it. So we carry on and we see where we end up. So if you've got a question that you would like me to answer, probably in 2023 now, please do pop it over to podcast@hannahmedium.co.uk. I love to hear from you all. I love the collaborative nature of this podcast. In fact, I was interviewed by Aliana yesterday in Denmark, and she was asking me about the fact that I get so many questions in, and I just love it. I love to know what you're all thinking. I love to answer it and get involved with you all. So long may that continue. And I will catch up with you again on Thursday. Have a lovely couple of days.